Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Thank you so much for coming out. It's such a wonderful day, and we are glad you can be here to worship with us. It's always good to come into His presence. So big welcome, 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 welcome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all this month we have been studying the Word of God, and you can always catch up on the website or on the podcast for free. Catch up on those messages. They are very powerful and will transform your life. But let's turn our Bibles. Today we'll look at the Word of God as it applies to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our loved ones. Let's see what the Bible, the Word of God, has to say. See, God is interested in our lives, and not only our lives, but He's interested in our friends, our families, our neighbors, and everybody that we come into contact with. God's plan is that everyone will hear about Him and come into the kingdom of God. So let's look at a couple of instances here in the Bible and see lessons that we can glean from it and how it applies to our lives. So let's turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Here was a man. He was devout. He was committed to whatever he was doing. Notice verse 1 says that verse 2 says he was a devout man who feared God. He was devout and feared God. But he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's possible to be devout. It's possible to fear God and still not have a relationship with Him. My Lord and my God. And who feared God with all his household. So notice, it wasn't just him, but his household as well. Notice, he gave alms generously to the people. Oh, he was walking in all the light that he has. Yo, it is possible to be generous. It is possible to give to the poor and still not be saved, you and your household. Notice, he prayed to God continually to God. Oh, he prayed continually to God. But up to that point, he was still not born again. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, verse 3, an angel of God come in and said to him, Cornelius. Oh, but thank God, thank God. Oh, he had a spiritual experience, but still wasn't born again. It is possible to have a spiritual experience and still not be born again. But thank God, this spiritual experience that he had was leading him to where he could go for help. And he stared at him, verse 4. He stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Thank God that God still paid attention to Cornelius. He paid attention to his prayers. He paid attention to his alms. And he remembered him. Oh, glory. Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Oh, thank God the angel, oh, didn't preach the gospel to him. You see, God has not ordained for angels to preach the gospel. He has ordained for you and I to preach the gospel. He is interested in our household. He has ordained for people who are children of God to proclaim the gospel. Angels are not children of God. But thank God you and I have been created in the image and the likeness of God. And thank God we have God living in us. Thank God we have a relationship with him. Thank God he is giving us the message of cheer. He's giving us the message, the good news, that we and our household may be saved. Oh, glory. I'm getting excited. My Lord, go and send for this person. He will tell you the gospel. He will tell you the gospel. He will tell you the gospel. He will give you word. You see, Cornelius hadn't heard the word of God, but God is endeavoring to get to him. Oh, send for Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Acts chapter 11, verse 14, when Peter was recounting the story, his experience. Notice what he says. He says he will declare to you a message or words by which you and your house will be saved. He will tell you words. Oh, men and people and women are saved by hearing word. That's what makes the difference. You see, Peter, up to that point, they had only been preaching to the Jews. Oh, and think about him. They had their issues as well as we have. Oh, he was as human as we are. He didn't want to go to another tribe. He didn't want to go to another people. But when God revealed himself to him in a vision, he said, "Don't call uncommon that which I have cleansed. Don't call it uncommon. Oh, my son has died and made provision for them to come into the kingdom of God. Oh, that neighbor that you have counted out, don't call that neighbor uncommon. Oh, that person that is living out there. Oh, and you think that how can God possibly get through to this person? I tell you, oh, as you minister the word of God to them, God can get through to them. He will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. God is interested in not you only being saved, but your whole household being saved. He will tell you words. We are saved by hearing words. We are healed by hearing words. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And it usually starts with one person. God will endeavor to get to one person in the family because he is interested in the whole household being saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I remember, my Lord and my God. One day, I mean, look, I was like Cornelius. I was going to church, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I was devout. Every Sunday I was there. I was getting closer to it, but I wasn't saved. Oh, but one day after I got saved, I remember I looked in my brother's diary, and he had been praying for me. He had already seen the light, and he was praying that I will be saved. He was praying that I will come into the kingdom of God. And thank God. Oh, and on a Sunday that looked normal as this. Oh, I went into the house of God. The minister preached. And that was the day I decided that I will give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but my brother was holding the rope for me all this time. Praying for me that I will be saved. And you see, you saw that I was in church, but I was getting off. My lifestyle was getting off. But thanks be to God, God got my attention. God didn't call me uncommon, and God didn't call me unclean. God does not call you uncommon. God does not call you unclean. My Lord, he is interested in households being saved. Thank you, Father. And the message that Peter preached in the house of Cornelius was only 10 verses. Starting in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Let's go through it this morning. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. My Lord, God's laws are universal. God's laws apply in every nation. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of person. In every nation. Oh, Peter had come to that knowledge. God doesn't respect any person. Anybody who believes can receive the free gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's acceptable to him. Thank you, Father. Oh, my Lord and my God. Anybody can hear this message and come into the kingdom of God. And verse 36, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. My Lord, you see, Jesus Christ, when he came with the good news. Notice what verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing bad? No, who went about doing good? Oh, everybody say, God. It's a good God. Oh, he is a good God. Jesus went throughout all Judea proclaiming and how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. You see, God is a good God. He's not behind the killing of innocent children. He's not behind the terrorism. He's not behind all the evils in the world. No, he's endeavoring to do good to you. He went about doing good. You see, the message that he preached was what he announced in Luke chapter 4. For God, let's stand there, please. Luke chapter 4. That was the message that he preached in Galilee. We'll come back to Acts chapter 10:38. But let's look at what he first proclaimed in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Notice what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, I have come to undo the works of the enemy that he did in Adam. Oh, 1 John 3:8, we heard that this morning. For this purpose was the Son of God revealed, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. So notice what he said. He anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What is the good news to the poor? Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. I am here. I am your supply. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. If you are in any form of captivity in your life, you don't have to remain in captivity. I am here to set you free. This morning, you don't have to remain in captivity. Jesus Christ is still the same, and he still delivers. Somebody say amen. Amen. And recovery of sight to the blind. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. I am here. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. So let's continue in Acts chapter 10, 38. Notice what he says. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That is what he was sent to do. Sickness is oppression from the devil. There's no sickness in heaven. Amen. Some people say, God put sickness on me. Where is he going to get it from? He doesn't have any to put on you. He went about doing good and healing all. Notice carefully. All who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. That is the message that he went about preaching all the time. And that is the message that we are endeavoring to preach all the time. That is the good news. That is the gospel. Thank you, Father. Oh, I can remember so many instances. But I remember when I saw in the Bible that he himself took, Matthew 8:17, he himself took my infirmities and my sicknesses. That is when I said, me and sicknesses, we are done. That is your last day. So one time, when I was in college, just a couple of weeks before I was in my third year, I was a couple of weeks before our final exam for the semester, I felt such an attack on my life. See, I was busy going to school and I was busy preaching the gospel. That's my lifestyle. I don't know anything else. And I smelled death in my room. And there was something wrong with me. And the doctor said, we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there is nothing wrong with you. So I left the school 2 weeks or 3 weeks before my exams. Oh, but I put up a fight. You see, the Bible says resist him. The devil, when you give him an inch in your room, he will take over the whole house. It doesn't play fair, and I don't play nice with him either. I resisted him, and other people were praying for me as well, and I came out completely and sound and completely made whole. You know when there's a problem with you, and you know when the doctor is saying something else. I was completely made whole, and I went in. I came to school right before the exams, and I was able to do my exams and come out with flying colors, so to speak. My Lord and my God. All who were oppressed by the enemy. All who were oppressed by the enemy. All who were oppressed by the enemy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, settle this once and for all. Jesus is the deliverer. Satan is the oppressor. And verse 39, we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God, I love that. But God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Thanks be to God, we are witnesses. You are a witness. Someone who testifies in court is a witness. We are witnessing the fact that Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus is still alive. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a dead Jesus. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he will be the same forever. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. We are witnesses that he is alive, that he rose up on the third day. Thank you, Father. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people. Thank God, it's a command. It's not, Lord, if I want to or I don't want to. I don't have a choice. He commanded us to the people to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. He has commanded us because he's interested in our family. All this time, Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household. Verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives remission, forgiveness of sins through his name. That word there is remission. Remission means that the price has been paid in full. The price has been paid in full. The price, the most worst of sinners, that price has been paid. All they have to do is to accept it. The price has been paid in full. 44. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all, notice, who heard the word. The power fell down. The Holy Spirit fell down while he was preaching the gospel. Romans chapter 1:16 talks about the fact that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power. The word of God is the power. The good news is the power. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believe. When we believe his word, that virtue, that power in the word of God is made available in our life. But the point here is we should not be ashamed to testify. We are not ashamed to testify. Oh, we are not ashamed to testify. While Peter was, sometimes we look for power everywhere. God's power is in his word. And when it is preached, power goes forth. The Holy Spirit came down as Peter preached the word. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Remission of sins to all who believe. Oh, like I said, I enjoy doing this. I went to a boarding high school. And when we were there, there were people like that. We were telling them to be reconciled to God. Some of them were the most meanest and wicked people that you can ever come in contact with. But we knew that the power of the word of God could transform their life. And I'm glad to say some of them listened. And today they are responsible citizens. Some of them are even pastors. That's why I never tire of preaching the word of God. It is seed and it will produce. We should not be ashamed of it either. God was interested in the house of Cornelius and all his household. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, one person, thank you, Father. One person who gets saved in the house can make all the difference. There was a jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Oh, he was mean. He had put Paul and Silas into prison. He had cast them into prison. Oh, but Acts 16, 25, about midnight, thank God. Oh, we all go through midnight seasons in our lives. But when that midnight season hits, when it is the darkest hour of your life, when you have no place to turn to, notice what they did. The Bible says that they were praying and singing praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Oh, and there was a shaking in that prison. And these people, oh my God, their bonds were loose. Oh, my Lord and my God. And the jailer came on the scene. He was trembling. And the question, you know the question that he asked? What must I do to be saved? And the response that they gave to him was in Acts 16. Oh, my Lord and my God. He said, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30 says, then he brought them out and says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. You and your household. That is the question, the answer we are supposed to give out. Believe. It is so simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. Oh, and thank God this jailer was saved. The one who had put them in the stocks, the one who beat them so that their backs were bleeding, all of a sudden he said, come to my house and let's have dinner. I want to get all my house saved. That is my paraphrase. You understand that? Oh, but the point is the jail was changed by the power of God. And God didn't just want him to be saved. His household to be saved. I can start with one person. You can be a witness to your family. You can be a witness to your friends. As we remember, even people that have given their lives for this country, remember the verse that was said in the prayer, John 15:13. For what manner of love a man can have for his friend, so that he lays down his life for his friends. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what happened to this man here in Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Glory be to God. Notice what happened. God is interested in our household. He's interested in our friends. And so we go forth endeavoring to give them the gospel of life. Notice what he says, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. This man was the man possessed by a legion. And he did, after he got delivered, he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go home and do what? Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell your friends. This man was so grateful. Oh, his testimony. He was possessed by the legion. He was there cutting himself with stones. He was being tormented and oppressed by the enemy. But one day Jesus came across his path and said, you do not have to be oppressed anymore. Demons, this body was not made for you to dwell in. Get out. And he was so grateful that he wanted to follow Jesus in the ministry. Jesus said, you see, the thing upon yours, the people did not want Jesus. My Lord, the demons went into their pigs, and the pigs ran into the sea. So they didn't want Jesus in their town anymore. Jesus said, well, if that's okay, you can go and be a witness in my place. Go home and tell your friends. This man doesn't have any training at all. All he knows is, his story is, I know once I was mad and today I'm not mad anymore. Jesus has transformed my life. He went proclaiming, verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. That Decapolis was 10 cities, one man. All he's going about, I can see him. Oh, I'm just imagining this now, you know. Oh, I used to be mad. I'm no longer mad. Jesus has transformed my life. Next time Jesus comes into this place, don't turn him away. Bring him into this city and let him have his meeting in here. And be sure not to miss that meeting. Be sure not to miss that meeting. And later, you know what happened? When Jesus Christ went into that place, the Bible says that they came to him from every quarter in the Decapolis, because of the testimony of one man. Don't count yourself out. Your testimony is powerful. It's unique to you. Oh, he says, go and tell what God has done for you. What is your testimony? Think about it. We can all trace in our lives moments where if God hadn't stepped in, we would have been embarrassed, we would have died, we would have been shamed, we would have been sick. That is your story. That is your testimony. That is all he knew. That is all the training that he had. He went and said, I used to be mad. I'm no longer mad anymore. Go home and tell your friends what he has done for you. Your life is significant in the hand of God. And you laying down your life makes all the difference. There were three people in the life of David. We all need good relationship, good friendship in our life. But people that can lay down their lives for you when your life is on the line. David was in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'll summarize it. He was in battle, and he needed water to drink. And three men decided that they will put their lives on the line. The water was it was near the gate of the camp of the enemy. But these three friends said, "We are going to put our life on the line and go and find water for David." And they went, and in verse 17, 2 Samuel 23, 17, when the water came back, David said, "I cannot do this. You have put your life on the line for me to get what?" He just poured the water away. He couldn't drink it. Oh, that is what God wants our lives to be in his hands, to be in his hand. Your life is meant to be one of significance. As you yield your life to him, you will make an impact on your neighbors. You will make an impact on your community. You will make an impact on your nation. Well, how do I get there? You just have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yield your life to him. And say, "Lord, I don't want my life to be alone. I want to lay my life down. Thank you that you have delivered me. Thank you that you have saved me. Thank you that you have redeemed me. Thank you that you have brought me into your family. And Lord, I want to yield my life to you. I want my life to count." And in any area of your life where you are oppressed, where you are depressed, where there is any area of your life where you need a touch from Almighty God, he can touch it as well. Glory be to God. There is a verse in James chapter 4 and verse 10. He said, I love it in the Amplified. He says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he would make your life significant." He will make your life significant. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that as you yield your life to God, may your life be one of significance. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He will make your life significant. And in any area of your life where you are oppressed by the enemy, this morning can be the day of your deliverance. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, sometimes we count people out. Don't count anybody out. We see people as, "Oh, they are so deviant. They are so horrible. How can they ever come to God?" They are like the little child who was in class and was told to stand up. And this child was so stubborn. He said, "I'm standing up on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still sitting down." But don't count people out. Don't count people out. And that's why we thank God for friends and family like you who are committed to doing the will of God, who are committed to obeying his word and doing what he has for our lives. Thank you, Father. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Talk to God this morning. Oh, God, thank God, the anointing, his anointing and his presence is here. Oh, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and with power. And this morning, if you don't know him, this is a perfect time. If you are watching online or listening to us, or if you are here, the best relationship that you can have is with Jesus. If you don't know him, just raise up your hand. I'm not talking about going to church. That's a good step. Oh, but you need, Jesus put it this way, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Lord, I want to be delivered. I want to be free like this madman of Gadara. Oh, I don't want any of the oppression of the enemy. On my life, I want to walk in the victory that has been purchased for me. Oh, if you are like this, just raise your hands and we'll pray with you. Or if you are watching online as well, you can pray this prayer with us. Just say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I believe you were raised from the dead. Today, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, I'm saved. Thank you, I'm in the kingdom of God. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's rise to our feet. We are no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves to the enemy. Oh, just talk to God in any area of your life this morning where you desire the word of God to transform your life. Just talk to God and say, Lord, transform my life. Take my life and use it for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, raise up, let's raise up our hands to God this morning. Thank you, Father. Let's all say this together, please. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you, oh Lord, for Jesus. He laid down his life for us, that we may lay down our lives for our friends. Lord, let's say, Lord, oh Lord, thank you that you have made me free, that I can be an agent of freedom. In the name of Jesus, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. May God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. You are no longer a slave to the enemy. Every area of oppression in your life, I decree your freedom this morning. In the name of Jesus. May God bless you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May he give you a testimony this week. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said a big, big amen. Oh, glory. Thank
you. We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.